Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from New Zealand. This miraculously, shall we say, irradiated island-chained nation paradise. You've got to love it. There's Maldives and grass skirts running around, police beating them with batons. It's just beautiful. And my very special guests are Randy Morgans and David Whitehead. Now, what were we talking about just before? We were talking about sports. I might actually go so far as to say that I hate sports. Well, I hate sports so much that when there was a rugby game on TV and my flatmates were watching it, I watched it with them. So much did I dislike the sport and the boredom starting to set in and just failing to see the point, I started to count advertisements that I saw within a 60-minute game. Oh, no, sorry, an 80-minute game. I found 67 different advertisements positioned around the stadium being flashed on the screen and taking little ad breaks and stuff like that, little insignias on their uniforms. It's holy shockingly, it's unbelievable. There ain't nothing to do with competition going on there, bro, apart from corporate competition. I'll sponsor these guys, you sponsor those guys, and we'll get them to bang their frickin' skulls together.
Oh, yeah. No, it's so true. And it's, you know, I've always been more a fan of getting in there and doing things in real life as opposed to just watching them on a little screen in my living room. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with getting out and hanging out with your friends and playing some sport on a Saturday afternoon. Maybe we'll have a barbecue or something and just sort of get to know your friends and your neighbors and get some friendly competition going. There's nothing wrong with that. I think that's great. But when you are watching people that, again, they get paid multi-millions of dollars to kick a ball around or throw a ball around or smack a ball around, some this fascination with playing with balls that they have out there with the male population is just go watch those guys play with their balls, and then that way you can feel better about everything. And then they have little women walking around in their short skirts and their thong bikinis, and it keeps everybody sexually frustrated, and that way they get the exact type of commitment to the sport and to watching the sport and being addicted to it. And there's many different facets there that they use to keep the attraction going. And of course, that is, it's turning into the distraction, actually. So, yeah, I couldn't agree more, Vinny.
Yeah. Now, one time I asked an acquaintance of mine who was talking about the sports and all of that kind of thing, do you equate the success of your sports team with your personal success? And he said he did. And I go, okay. Let's say your favourite rugby team or football team or whatever won the competition, whatever it is, World Series, etc., that year. Did your pocketbook get any heavier because of that victory? Did you make any money off of it? Did you gain any extra physical prowess over it, like you would perhaps if you were exercising? Did you have a profound change in your life? Did you actually accumulate something? Did anything that actually matters actually happen to you as a result of your team achieving a goal at a sports game? Nothing. For virtually anybody ever actually is tantamount to any kind of achievement that you try and live vicariously through a sports team. Doesn't frickin' exist, folks. You weren't on the field. You don't get to share the spoils. You're just a spectator that they're using so that they can sell crap to you. Get it through your thick frickin' skulls. They know how to manipulate you, and they're doing so for a very good reason. And it's not just the money. Because while they've got all your attention, they can do all sorts of other things because you'll be too focused on that to care. Did you know that the New Zealand election happened right in the middle of the Rugby World Cup in New Zealand, the biggest sports event that had ever been hosted here? And then, surprise, surprise, we have the lowest voter turnout since 1887, when women weren't even allowed to vote. It's not a coincidence, folks, that they do all the presidential elections at the same time as some other sports competition over there, where whether it be the football or the basketball or something else that involves balls. You know? And they've got you by them, ladies and gentlemen.
The identification with a team dynamic on the side of spectators is baffling to watch. I live here in Pennsylvania in the heartland of Penn State, and I guess you're aware of what's going on with Penn State and the pedophile rings that have been uncovered there.
Yeah.
The level of rabid commitment to people who are exposed as complete total scumbags is unbelievable to me. They roll out the PR, they gloss over everything, they admonish a few people, they hang a few people out to dry, but at the end of the day, these are not good people. The whole scandal that took place here with Jerry Sandusky, and he was the tip of the iceberg of something very horrific and ugly, and the pedophile rings that are run through the entertainment industry, the sports industry, the religious system, these are all symptoms of a deep sickness within the culture that are masked over by this mentality of group identification. And sports is just one more idiom of where that occurs.
Well, absolutely. And also an interesting thing to bring up, too, is the militarization of sports. And the when I go to the Air Canada Center here in Toronto, been a couple times invited down to, you know, a sports game or a show, concert or whatnot. You go down there and wall to wall, you had advertisements of police recruiting, military recruiting. And then when you go and watch some of these big, huge NFL playoff games or NHL games, you have military coming onto the ice or coming onto the field, and people are getting awarded ribbons and medals and all kinds of stuff. You have major celebrities, you have political personalities showing up at these games, and you have all kinds of stuff. And of course, they sing the national anthem before every game commences, which is it's ingraining in people this idea, this false idea of patriotism. And not to say that you shouldn't be proud of your country and the home that you have and all the benefits that you share, but what we're talking about here is that they just want you to support different masks on the same face. So you, as long as you're in that mindset of competition and I want my team to win, and usually you're inebriated out of your mind by this point, and then you're sitting there, you know, singing your national anthem, and everybody has that sort of false pride, and then they can easily keep you subliminally entrained into the big team, which is that you're on Team Canada, you're on Team USA, you're on Team globalist banking fraternities, really, and team if Prada. You keep going along with it, then and you can't become aware of it, and you can't see the propaganda that's there, where they're advertising the military as if it's something that we need more money to go to the military so we can go and free other countries from their dictators or whatever. It's all part and parcel, it's all packaged together, and a lot of people, they don't have the intelligence to be able to see through it.
Yeah, I recall Bill Hicks saying back in the early 90s, when gays wanted to be in the military, he said, "Gays want to be in the military? Here's how I feel about it. Anyone dumb enough to want to be in the military should be allowed in. That should be the only requirement. Yeah. I don't care how many push-ups you can do. Put on a helmet. Go sit in that foxhole. I'll tell you when we need you to kill somebody."
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, absent from everything we've talked about here regarding sports is this concept that I keep coming back to, which is honor. There is nothing wrong with teamwork. And David, you have a dojo. You train people in martial arts. You do competitive contests, I'm sure. But yeah. At the same time, there's a concept, and it's something that's kind of embedded in the best of martial arts, which has to do with honor. And maybe you can address that, because I don't have firsthand experience with it, but I see a total lack of honor on an individual basis. And even on a team level, everything is about the win. Everything is about glory, which is not the same thing. But honor seems to be lost in the equation of all of this.
Yeah, no, it is the foundation of these different disciplines, especially martial arts. And sadly, it's as bad, if not worse, in the area of competitive martial arts. If you remember that movie Karate Kid, it was probably one of the best movies made about martial arts, trying to illustrate the difference.
The original
one, right? Yeah, the original one.
Yeah.
Not the Jackie Chan one, although Jackie Chan could be pretty fun to watch. But it was nothing like the original. Basically, they had the idea of the Cobra Kai dojo, right? The bad guys. They were the guys that the teaching at that school was a drill sergeant. He was out of Vietnam or something, and he was working his guys, and it was all about winning and doing anything to win, you know, sweep the leg, you know, all that kind of stuff. Well, sadly, of course, then you have a Mr. Miyagi character who is trying to teach Daniel-san all these different principles of martial arts, but really so that he can apply them to real life and to becoming an empowered individual. And you see the polarity demonstrated beautifully in that film. And sadly, the Mr. Miyagi type training or the concepts that they were using for that character are lost in the martial art world, and they all have pretty much been turned into these Cobra Kai type dojos. Most dojos these days have been just turned into MMA training fight factories, where you walk in there, everybody's eyeing you up, you got to put a pair of gloves on, get in the ring, and you're a fresh piece of meat for that day. It's not really about instilling values, principles, the seven tenets of the code of Bushido or any of that kind of stuff. And I actually did an interview recently with Dr. Bodie Sanders, who's a three-time black belt Hall of Famer, and he wrote a great book called The Wisdom Warrior. And he was talking about it. We were talking about this exact subject, about how sports and especially martial arts has been degraded to such a degree. And it's just like we see everywhere else. It's the same thing. I mean, I'm sure we talk to people that came up in, you know, I live in Canada. Hockey's the big sport here. And I talked to some of the old timers, and they're like, you know, hockey was just something we got together. We'd play it on the out with the community. Everybody comes out, they sit and have hot chocolate, you know, it was just part of it was a pastime. But now, even on Team Canada, there's all these Americans and Swedens and Swedes, there's all these different people from different nationalities playing for Team Canada, it's so ridiculous.
I believe if you have somebody from Sweden who's playing for Team Canada, that's called an artificial Swedener.
Well, exactly, you know, it's just so basically what I'm trying to say is that you're right, it's completely opposite of what it should be, and it would be nice to have some role models out there for young people to look up to, because I agree, there's nothing wrong, especially for young people, with sports and getting out there and doing that, that's great. But when the whole goal is to get out there and make millions of dollars and be that celebrity mindset and crush your competition at all costs, and you know, it's all about having managers. I mean, behind every single one of these celebrities is like 20 or 30 guys. They got a team of lawyers, they got managers, they got producers, they got people that design
that are
supposed
man.
To have their head, you know, their hair shaped.
Psychopaths need an entourage.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just totally twisted these days, man.
Well, it's about core values. And I remember when I was in high school, when you first starting to get like interested in women and things like that, and all these guys had all these despicable, terrible plans of how to get women in the sack, and I was just, you know, kind of saying to them, you know, that's just not honourable, bro. You know, you got to do it the honourable way. You got to do it right. You got to pay respect and be good and that kind of thing. What was strange about growing up is that it wasn't just the men who were unhonorable, it was the women too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, it seems to be, like we were saying, I think in one of the previous Man Talk projects, we were talking about how there seems to be different kinds of targeting for men and women. So women, of course, they get led down the whole, playing hard to get and being raised on this superficial Sex in the City type culture and this mindset of being too good for being a mother and a wife, you know. But now it's all about being Miley Cyrus on stage grinding with a bunch of rappers or whatever. And then, of course, on the men, it's about being everything's about sex, everything's about power, money, ego, success, and all that kind of stuff. And it's just very, very interesting to see how it's played in the media and how they play in all the television shows and movies, how they play these two characters against each other. And then what happens is, monkey see, monkey do. This is what we do. We start to emulate these people. It's the same strategy with advertising. A lot of these advertisements we see are goofy, and you're like, oh, there's no way I would ever fall for that. There's no way I'd ever buy that product. That was the stupidest commercial I've ever seen. But it's on a subliminal level. And so a lot of people, they don't even know that their mind is actually being assaulted with this, because they want you disempowered. They don't want you connected to your true masculinity or your true femininity.
Yeah, that I have an affinity for masculinity and femininity, you know. See, apparently so does a manatee.
Well, and speaking of, they have the whole effeminate kind of thing going on. I don't know if you guys have been following what's been going on with this Russell Brand thing, where this guy is being touted around as sort of the new messiah of the truth movement, and everybody's kind of buying into it. And I don't know, he said some things that, of course, I can agree with in terms of identifying some of the problems. But we do have to remember that this guy's a multimillionaire working out of Hollywood, and we can't hold that against him. I mean, we need people within the mainstream community to come out and start joining this fight as well. But then when you start asking him what the solution should be, he starts saying things like, let's have a socialist libertarian system where we have some kind of we'll just rename what government is called, and we'll just have some collectivist sort of a hive mind type thing. And that's where freedom lies, where we have a massive redistribution of wealth and heavy taxation. And of course, when you look historically at any of these different things, none of these things work. It ends up turning back into another form of collectivist control. So I don't know. I just find it interesting that the media is pumping this guy out there like steroids.
Well, I think the alternative media listeners, in particular the listeners to this show, aren't easily swayed by people anymore. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how many false messiahs we've all had to like come and save us, and then you find out there's something disappointing about them, and then you just don't trust them anymore? Right?
Yeah.
People are actually getting their stuff together, man. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the place where you can find any number of artificial sweeteners.
And I honestly wish we were, television, because this picture of Russell Brand. Sorry, listeners, you won't get this one.
Whoa. I don't know. We'll put that on the YouTube. But
if you picture in the background of this video for the whole 2 hours just to torture anybody.
It's actually kind of hot, you know?
Oh. I think I threw up in my mouth a little. Just a little. What we're looking at, ladies and gentlemen, is kind of like a almost a female Russell Brand, but wearing sort of like a unitard sort of thing. It's like Arnold Schwarzenegger's body with a feminine Russell Brand's head kind of thing. With like a swimming unitard. It's pretty disgusting, bro.
Yeah, it is actually. Yeah, so.
I'm going to close that now. Let's go.
I feel defiled.
Gone. Yeah, ooh. Sorry about that, guys. It just kind of spit my water out of my mouth when I saw it, and I had to share.
Well, let's talk about the God complex, right?
There you go.
Savior complex, Messiah complex. There's freaking everybody's looking for somebody to come and save them from something. Oh, maybe it'll be Russell Brand. Yeah, Russell Brand's going to be the Messiah, bro. Russell Brand, who has cheeky choocha with goodness knows how many girls on a weekly basis, and been in a long term relationship in his broken life, calls himself a genius and even calls his entire tour about being a savior.
The other messiahs and saviors are late for the party, so maybe he's just the best person that could be sent. I don't know.
This is the best society can produce. Okay, it's garbage in. Garbage out.
Yeah.
The Messiah thing doesn't really work out real well. That you usually get you killed. So,
well, that's true.
Look at what happened to Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen came out hardcore for 9/11 truth. Right? And then he starts getting sabotaged. His cars get stolen. His TV show gets cancelled. He gets his entire life messed up. And his mind goes out of control. He starts drinking again. And the New World Order can really, really frack you if you're famous and powerful and influential, and you come out for something as controversial as supporting a conspiracy theory or supporting positive change. Don't you think?
Well, it's funny because even when Charlie Sheen was bringing... Oh, sorry, I was just going to say, even when he was bringing it up, he was just asking questions, wasn't he? The whole point was that he was just like, hey, we got questions. And you can't even ask those questions if you're in those positions, because then you're going to get other people to start asking questions. And then they're going, three buildings, two planes, less than 10 seconds, free full speed. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. And then they're going to go, yeah, we can't have a mainstream celebrity out there making people actually think about these types of things. So I think that's what it is.
Is it a matter of time? Because Charlie Sheen was able to come out public for a substantial period of time before it really started to come down on him hard.
Oh, yeah.
And so maybe Russell Brand this time next year will be off this train, and he'll be going back to making comedy movies, doing tours and things like that, and generally having a laugh.
Russell Brand has not brought anything to the table in terms of contributing to a conversation that's enlightening. What he has done is trotted out Marxism, socialism, basically contributing to the dialectic that, well, capitalism screwed us now. Like, yeah, we've had capitalism on a grand scale, haven't we? So now let's try socialism. In other words, this is a move by whoever handles him, his Tavistock handlers, to push us back into the corner where we move into socialism again. It is the same Hegelian dialectic that has been bannered back and forth since the beginning of the 20th century, and we just keep buying it.
But he did put a Guy Fawkes mask on in a big march, or what was that, million mask march or whatever, and so apparently he's on our side. And of course that's how they try to portray these types of things, is to get you again focusing, as we were talking about with these sports celebrities, getting even people that would otherwise want to be questioning what's going on, and they see somebody out there talking about the problems and saying, hey, yeah, that makes sense, I want to hear what that guy has to say. And of course he's a multi-million-dollar celebrity.
And then they say, thank folks for that.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's sort of the whole problem, reaction, solution thing. And we just have to be careful what kind of Pied Pipers, we start falling down the path because this has never worked out well. And of course, they do realize that people are waking up. So let's not kid ourselves. There is a genuine awakening taking place. There are genuine people out there that are trying to disseminate this information and try to wake people up and assist with bringing ideas forward for change. That's great. And hopefully more people come out from within these mainstream establishments and from the media and whatnot. But we do know that this guy's on the air. He's not getting cut off. And they're not rushing a commercial break, and they're not jeering at him that much, and they're giving him plenty of airtime and plenty of publicity, and they're making t-shirts all over the place about this guy. So this guy's being put out there because they want him out there. Anybody that's been a real whistleblower or a real person coming out from within, like Vinny brought up Charlie Sheen and all these other people, they have been marginalized, ostracized, ridiculed, and completely shut down. So that's
not audience. Is not well, this talk that we're very happening about Russell Brand, and actually most of the talk around the alternative media doing that exact same thing to Russell Brand that the mainstream media did to Charlie Sheen? Have we become the very aggressors that we purport to oppose?
Well, maybe not aggressors, but just pointing out the fact that we're spotting, we're calling it what it is, you know, and we're suspicious now. And I think that that's good. And I'm not insulting the man personally. I don't know him personally. That's what I've always said. It's like, I don't know the guy, but I'm just saying that we're listening to what he's saying. And we're looking at the evidence of the fact that he's being supported by the media, even though it looks like they're out there debating him and he's having all these heated debates with people. The fact that they're even allowing him to talk, you know, some people might say, well, that's a good thing, isn't it? Well, it's never worked out very well historically. And I'm just saying that I'm suspicious, and I'm encouraging people to remain suspicious, not critical, not calling them names, and not, you know, being too hard on them. It's more about being aware of the possibility of what Randy was pointing out there.
Yeah, you could be taken for a ride.
Well, you know, we talk about the alternative media space. There is no real collective consensus. If you look at the spectrum of people who you would consider to be alternative media, it's a very, very wide group of people who hold very diverse opinions. And even using we is dicey, but we seem to hold certain opinions about certain things. On the other hand, it's very diverse. I think this is a much healthier environment in terms of productive media than the kind of backroom clatching that goes on in major media, where everything's handled, everything's controlled, there's a script, there are very much a lack on the part of network anchors, newscasters, and people like that to actually think for themselves or to do authoritative research. In this space, at least there are people out there who do disagree. And I actually find it very refreshing to get people who criticize me, who call me on the rug for something that I've said or something that I believe. I think this is healthy. And I think anybody that wants to be in the media space needs to man up. Oops. Man up. to the fact that we are open to criticism. We are open to having our ideas examined in a dialogue.
It's good when you're honest. You don't have to remember anything.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Be yourself.
I was wrong. Sorry. Didn't know.
I want to be wrong. Look, I've been proven wrong many times in my life, and it's actually for me, I'm like, wow, that's perfect. You know, like I said, I grew up training martial arts, and if I was just perfect at everything I did every single time and nailed it 100%, no problem, I wouldn't really learn anything. I'd probably be an arrogant jerk. And I think that there's something humbling about failing. You know, and I usually use a statistic in martial arts. You'll probably fail at learning these techniques 100 times to 1 minimum before you're actually going to nail it. And there's that very humble process that has to be brought to bear when you're trying to pursue anything, whether it's knowledge, whether it's understanding, whether it's learning a technique, whether it's learning a musical instrument, whether it's becoming more a better husband, wife, father, whatever, no matter what you're doing, you need to have that humility. And I actually embrace when I'm wrong, because it means now I have an opportunity to grow. Now I can reassess things, because I personally only care about truth. I only care about what's real. I don't want to be, you know, thinking about something that's erroneous or not factual. And I know, they always say wisdom is knowing how little you know. And in the grand scale of the cosmos and the situation that we live in, I think that we should be facing that with a certain amount of humility. So for me, being proven wrong is part of brilliance. It's part of progression.
Yeah, I just assume that I'm wrong. And it turns out that I'm right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff I wish we weren't right about, but sadly, you know, the facts speak for themselves, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that whole humility thing, I think it's almost like you need to, I wouldn't say guilt, I wouldn't say be apologetic, but there's something about being human that separates you from, say, a psychopath is regret, remorse, being genuinely apologetic, being humble.
And humility.
Mm-hmm. If you're willing to admit your faults and say, I've been wrong before, and or say, I'm very, very sorry and genuinely mean it, then there's something good about you. There's some genuine humanity there. Try and get a psychopath to do anything like that? They can't. They literally freaking can't do it. Yet anybody ever apologize to you, and the way that they apologize to you is say, I'm sorry that you feel that way. There's nothing genuine about that. And that's what I really, really don't like about dishonest people. Because you don't know whether or not they're being genuine. I know I'm being genuine, have been from day one, don't plan to change my tune anytime soon. And the good thing about being honest and genuine when you've got listeners is that you know that those listeners keep listening not because you're projecting a false facade or manipulating them or using tactics and what BS and actually thinking about it. People still listen to the show because they know I'm the genuine article. I'm not there to stab you in the back and mislead you intentionally. Not a bad guy. I'm just human. Like you.
Yeah, and we all make
mistakes. I deeply appreciate that.
Yeah,
name me one person who hasn't made a mistake in their life. Name me one. They don't freaking exist. Right? Maybe one person who's never fallen for a single lie in their life. They don't freaking exist. I say get used to it. Get used to it and enjoy it. Hey, I was lied to, really horribly deceived the other day. Nah, bro, that's awesome. You probably won't be deceived by the same lying scumbaggery filth again, will you? Nah, it's great. I want to be lied to and deceived even more and then find out that I was wrong. That way, I'll actually be able to learn something of value about life and develop some kind of discernment. Kind of like if you, I don't know, like in the days of marathon, when, hey, you didn't know that you could run so many umpteen miles in order to get to a particular place to defend it from attack until you suddenly had to, right? Necessity, as they say, is the mother of all invention. And I think what's happening nowadays, guys, is that people are realizing how feminized all the men are becoming, how masculine all the women are becoming, and how unbalanced the entire human race is becoming. And I think we've discovered the necessity to start moving back the other way to restore those things that were once of value and commonly united us in a decent, honorable culture.
Yeah, and people should be in a, they should be able to understand that people like the three of us here. I mean, we all conduct radio shows. We do a lot of research. We work with and speak to a lot of people that are doing various forms of research into these different fields. And we all can agree on the fact that there's something wrong. There's a problem. There is these things that you were just talking about, Vinny. And we do see that there is nefarious activity going on. There's corruption going on. And we need to basically keep looking into that. We can't be held if we make little tiny mistakes here and there on little details. You know, we got to start planning where we agree.
And you can't start arguing with people and say, oh, stop mentioning that there's evil out there and trying to expose it. You're just giving them power by exposing them and destroying their secrecy.
Yeah, right.
We'll be right back.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite. By satellite, and I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope, and I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
Yeah, we gotta bring the music down. All right. It's now the final segment of the Man Talk Project 4 with my special guest, David Whitehead from theworldwasmeanttobefree.com and Randy Morgans from offplanetradio.com. And we have a final discussion point. What you resist persists. This is a philosophy that's going around. If the founding fathers had that philosophy, there would be no such thing as America. If Britain had that kind of philosophy when during World War II, there would be no such thing as Britain. You know, you just imagine all these English people running around in the streets, you know, like early onset New Ages, and they're going, oh, don't fight back against the Germans. No, there'll be way more of them. What you resist persists. Just let them take over us and put us all in freaking camps. I mean, what are you, insane? Resisting tyranny is just foolish. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
Oh, it's just ridiculous.
I want to be a slave. I just love being a slave so much that I completely deny reality, history, and even common frickin' sense. This is why I have renamed common sense platinum sense, because it's one of the rarest frickin' elements you can ever find.
That's a good one. Yeah, no, this thing, I've spoken to a lot of people about this, and I think that there is an actual way to interpret what you resist persists, but it has nothing to do with tyranny or resisting the evil that we see all over the place. And it'd be like saying that the more that we try to fix the situation taking place within Fukushima, where we have these power plants melting down and basically contributing to all kinds of problems radiating the planet. If we didn't resist that, if we didn't formulate some kind of an opposition to that, then of course that would mean annihilation. And if we don't resist this global police state that's coming in every day, every minute of every day, it's more and more, it's enhancing all the time. If we don't resist that in any way and stand up for our rights and our freedoms, if we don't have any kind of spirit of rebellion in that sense, then we are going to be in the same situation that we've been really throughout history, because people, you know, they only have resisted a little bit, and the powers that be are very good at keeping you in a mindset that if you resist them, it's futile. And that really reminds me of, was it the Borg? Resistance is futile. So if they
assimilated.
Can make you believe that, then they got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that resisting and winning is very encouraging. The problem is people try to resist. You know, you're familiar with the phrase picking your battles, right? They go up against things that are way, way beyond them and are surprised when they fail and then disillusioned. I'm going to go out and I'm going to wake up 1,000 people today in the street by ranting at them through a megaphone. You freaking idiot. It's not going to work. Okay, this is a long protracted war. Think about this. It's taken, goodness knows, at least hundreds, possibly thousands of years in order for the elite bloodlines and what have you, in order to get their freaking system up to this point where people are so freaking asleep they can barely see their hand in front of their face because it's blocked by a freaking iPhone. Okay? and you think you're just going to go out one day and reverse hundreds to thousands of years of psychometric conditioning because you've got the truth on your side. Truth is not enough. Truth is not enough. Tactic, ladies and gentlemen, manners. There's a whole bunch of things that have been tried and failed, and many more that have been tried and worked. And I say that everybody's got a methodology that works for them. What works for you? Well, if you're having fun while doing it, and you're not getting into outrageous arguments and fights and what have you, then it might actually be starting to get pretty effective, don't you think? If you get these people to listen to you and actually think about it by themselves for a minute, you don't have to wake them up. And indeed, I don't think you can. Everybody wakes themselves up. It's just the other person that gives them the clue that there's actually something to wake up to. Nobody forced me to sit down in front of a computer almost every day and watch like 2 full documentaries for like 6 months solid. Nobody forced me to do that. I had a thirst for the truth. The people who gave me that thirst for the truth were the people who were trying to tell me it. But I didn't wind up hanging on every single word that they said because they couldn't talk long enough to fulfill my need for truth. Such was my thirst. And I think everybody else needs to understand that very important principle. Don't make yourself responsible for waking everybody else up. It's not your frickin' job. It's your job to play your part. Because everybody knows that it takes about maybe 7 people, 7 different people at different times telling you the same thing before that statement will become self-evident to you. All right? So just play your frickin' part, ladies and gentlemen. Don't say, oh, if I say something, they might get angry with me. It's an information grenade. Just pull the pin, chuck it in, and then frickin' walk away. Let it blow up in their face. Okay? It's not your responsibility to save the human race by yourself. I hate to say kind of collective effort, but it really is. We're all working for the same goal. We all come to the truth in our own way through our own unique little path, don't we? So we've all got our own unique spin on things. And I say that that is the thing that gives us diversity. And you know what diversity gives you? Resilience. Because everything that's monoculture that's in nature, there is no frickin' monoculture. There's no frickin' fields ploughed with corn, only one frickin' type of corn. Is there? Because all of that stuff will just die, get overgrown. People have over-specialized everything that they do. You've got to spread your frickin' net far, don't you? Different groups of friends, different volunteer projects, different jobs, different sources of income, this kind of thing. If you're locked into one specific lifestyle and you have no outs, no other rudimentary support structures out there, then you're basically dependent and you're at the will of whoever is capable of turning your money off. That's what the bankers want. Don't do it. All right, I've said my piece.
Go ahead, Randy. You haven't said anything, man. Go ahead. What do you think about all this stuff?
Well, we were talking originally in this conversation about resisting, not resisting things. That which you resist persists. Look, you have to have wisdom in order to engage in a battle. And as I think we've all said, you know, the scale of this thing is huge. If we look at the size of the mountain, we'll never climb it. But you don't climb a mountain in one jump. It is a gradual process. And each day when you get up and you make the decision to operate in integrity and honor and truth and attempt to impart those values to other people, that's how you begin to wake people up. But it's, as Vinny said, It's not our job. The people who are going to hear this are the people who need to hear it now, and the other people will come along later. But to say that you don't resist something is ridiculous. I've heard the New Agers. I've heard the people who want to misquote the Bible and say, well, Jesus said, resist not evil. Well, I think he was pretty pissed off when he threw those bankers out of the temple. And I think when he called the Pharisees snakes and vipers, he was kind of upset and he was kind of pushing against it. But he used wisdom. And I think if you go back and you look through history at the great leaders, that's what they did. They understood when to push, they understood when to step back, and they understood when it was just time to exercise wisdom. And that's how you sustain the energy for a long battle against a very big enemy.
And a very unfunny enemy. And that's the point of the show, ladies and gentlemen, is not to wake you up. Okay? If you listen to the show, you're probably already awake to a large extent. Mm-hmm. My objective is just to keep you sane. All right. That's why I'm so silly. You think I could take all of this stuff seriously 24/7 like I used to earlier on in the day without this coping mechanism of just making fun of it in order to make light of it so that it doesn't freaking drive me insane? No. We're all suffering this inordinate continental disease of globalist scumbaggery. And I think that having some faith, good sense of humour, and a good heart is the cure. All we've got to do is just spread that cure around, all right? Inject it into people's frickin' veins. Oh, yeah. Give me an IV of that, please. Give me a big bowl of the red pills. Throw those blue ones away. I want to wake up. I don't want to go back to sleep because I've really got to take a leak, you know?
It's really about taking the leak, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's called a leak of faith. We'll see you again sometimes, ladies and gentlemen. Hopefully. Okay. Randy Morgans, offplanetradio.com. Thank you very much. And David Whitehead from theworldwasmeanttobefree.com. All the archives for this show and many others are at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. You should be able to find the archives and the commercial-free ones there. Donate if you can. We'll see you again sometime, folks.
This next announcement is serious news, and you won't hear it in the mainstream media. We are living in an age full of catastrophic events, and it's getting worse. But before we go on, remember this website, highgrounds.us. In the past 2 decades, natural disasters have increased by 800% within the U.S. alone. Cataclysms like Hurricane Katrina killed and displaced thousands because they were not prepared. And the 2008 economic collapse could happen again, but be much, much worse. So type this into your web browser, highgrounds.us. Highgrounds.us is your complete source for family survival necessities. You'll find food and water with a shelf life of 25 to 30 years, plus tents, portable containers, light, heat, first aid, and much more. Go to our website, highgrounds.us, or call 1-888-202-9094. Place your order now and be prepared. That's H-I-G-H, highgrounds.us. Hope for the best, but prepare for the worst. Highgrounds.us.
Have you been feeling off lately? Tired, depressed, or in pain? Maybe you've tried doctors and medications without luck. What if you could try something different and natural? Something that helps your body actually heal itself? I'm Trina, and I want to share with you something amazing I've discovered. RNA drops are a groundbreaking invention for alternative health. I had a rotator cuff injury from softball, and I didn't really want surgery. My cousin told me to try the RNA drops. I wasn't sure what to think, but kept an open mind. And after using the drops, I was completely healed and could throw the softball again. There's something about these drops. I had problems with anxiety and speaking in front of people. Those fears are all gone now. I also noticed more energy, and a surprising side effect for me was an increased libido. You can try RNA drops for free for a limited time. Go to trinasgooddrops.com and claim your free bottle. Pay only shipping and handling. Resolve to be good to yourself and get your free sample of RNA drops at trinasgooddrops.com.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom, and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs, and artillery batteries not included. Has your heart been pounding? Feel short of breath? Got high blood pressure or problems sleeping? Heart disease is a leading cause of death. Being surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and poisoned water has a cumulative effect as we enter later life. Medications that only address symptoms ensure these problems persist, while your family and finances suffer. It's time to work with the body and its own innate ability to heal itself. Heart and Body Extract is a natural, organic herbal supplement that restores balance. A heart attack could be just around the corner. Spare your loved ones pain and fear. Protect yourself, protect your health with Heart and Body Extract. With a lifetime money-back guarantee, you have no excuse. Order a two-month supply today. Call toll-free 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com.
No rules, no rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.